Come on, everybody. We got a part to play, don't we? Come on. Come on, if Bob can come to church, you can bring somebody to church with you, right? So again, we want to encourage you to use those cards around. If you don't like those cards, we actually have some other ones out at the event center through the double doors on the left-hand side that you can pass out to your family, your friends, and your coworkers. Because I don't know about you, but God saved me, changed me, and He'll change anybody else. Can you say amen? If you follow us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, ever what you know mode of social media you follow us, I encourage you to just try to find us on, you know, with Spectrum Church. We try to post some stuff that was, you know, helpful and encourage us all, and also updates on messages that we're going to be speaking. Maybe you saw something this past week that today we're starting a new series, and the title will be on the screen behind me called I Hate It. Can you say that out loud? I hate it. Probably you're like me, there's several things in your life that as you go through life, you just go, man, I really hate that. I don't like that. I despise that. I've been quick to say I hate things, but later I found that the thing that I actually hated really turned out and was beneficial for me in the end, and probably you as well. The thing we're going to talk about today, our first of three different lessons in this series, I Hate It, is a word that might send chills up your spine. You might sit a little stiffer. You might not look around too much. You might clench your fist, as I have in days gone by, and might still in days in the future. We're going to look at this subject of correction. Correction. If you're like me, you were raised in a family where correction was given. If you're like me, you worked at a job where correction was given. If you're like me, you've been around maybe in sports where the coach gave you correction. And if you're like me, you were maybe serving in church where somebody over you needed to correct you. The Bible's got a lot to say about it, and probably everybody in the room, you've experienced correction on differing levels, and some was good and some was probably wrong, and how the person corrected you or how the person did what they did to you probably caused a lot of emotions in you. Some of them maybe like this, where you felt embarrassed by the correction. You felt belittled by the correction. You felt humiliated by the correction. Maybe the way they did it, maybe the parameters of what they did in the front of friends or people that you admired or looks or ever what they did. And it's caused you and I, or has the potential to cause you and I, to back up and say, I'll never allow myself to be corrected again. And if you do, you're going to short-circuit yourself from a place of blessing that the Word of God has for you. Let's talk about correction from a biblical standpoint, and let's look to see what God says and align our thinking up with it, not discounting maybe where you've been, not discounting maybe the pain that you've been through, but let's look at it from a biblical perspective, and hopefully at the end of 40 minutes together or 38 minutes together, however how far long we go, that we'll say, you know, maybe what happened to me when I was growing up wasn't right, but what God's got for me right now, I'm going to be open to some correction. Come on, poke your neighbor and just say, let's get corrected today. Come on, let's get corrected. Anybody ever heard of Cain and Abel? Come on, somebody. Whether you've read the Bible or not, man, the stories of fables in some realms, but definitely biblical from the Scripture standpoint. Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's sons. The Bible doesn't necessarily say they were twins, but they were sons. And we see this story unfold in the book of Genesis where God evidently tells Cain and Abel, and or they heard this from their mom and dad, Adam and Eve. And here's what it was. You need to come to God and bring an offering to God that God asks you to bring. You can't come to God and bring Him just anything you want because God won't receive it. So the Bible says in the process of time, in other words, there's been time that's gone on where these boys know what God will accept or what He will not accept. And the Bible says that they brought an offering to God, and the Scripture says that Abel brought of the firstling of the flock, he actually brought a living sacrifice, killed the sacrifice. It was called a blood sacrifice. And the Bible says that Cain didn't do that. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. He brought an offering of fruits or vegetables unto God. The Bible says something alarming. It says this: God respected Abel's offering, but did not respect Cain's offering. So that tells me right off the bat, there's just some things God says, I don't want. And there's things that God says, I do want. And we got to find out what's pleasing to Him. Well, pick up the story in Genesis chapter 4. We'll have the scriptures behind me. Write them down. It's taking some notes. This is the New Living Translation. It says this: this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what's right. But if you refuse to do what's right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. That's an amazing portion of Scripture. Listen to me. Does anybody recognize who's talking to Cain? Come on, somebody. God's talking to him. God's talking to Cain. And God's saying, Cain, listen to me. Listen, can you imagine the ruler of the universe, God, talking to this brother, saying, you got to stop what's going on in your life because sin is crouching at the door, ready to jump on you like a lion jumping on the back of a water buffalo to bring it down. You've got to subdue this. You've got to control this. You've got to overcome this. And we know what happened. Cain didn't listen to correction, and then Cain became the first murderer. He killed his brother, Abel. Can I tell you something? God is okay with correcting you and me. If God is okay with bringing correction in your life and my life, then I've got to understand what God is trying to do, what He's trying to do. You are to subdue. I'm to subdue any feelings of insecurity, any feelings that are adverse concerning correction. And when somebody that's over me, when a parent, when a teacher, when a coach, when even spiritual authority, when it comes in my life, I've got to be open to correction. Now, listen to me. I know, because I've been in ministry, Pastor Kimmer and I, for 30 years. And I've talked to so many different people in different areas and different churches and people that have come to our church and coming from a different church and seeing where there's been an abuse of spiritual authority. I'm not talking about that. I've seen and heard situations where the people in authority, whether it was pastoral or associates or different departments, and people berated people, they demeaned people, they demanded unholy, just crazy stuff from them, and trying to correct them in front of people to have a power play. All that is crazy stuff. Can you just say amen there? But at the same time, I've got to look at this subject of correction that really, listen to me, I hate it. I hate correction. I don't like it, really, but I got to look at what the fruit is going to bring in my life. If I was Cain, would I receive correction? Or would I get my fist tight? Would I be blood red? As you've been around some people, and I have too, where you try to bring correction, and they just cinch up, and they almost want to hit you. I don't want to be that person, because God says sin is crouching at the door, and it's trying to control me. And I've got to be open to correction from those over me. And I've got to listen, and I've got to take a step back, and I've got to calm myself down, and I've got to apply what they're saying. All the time that we have ministers that come to the church, Pastor Kimmy and I, and even sometimes that mainly this, well, two different ways. I'll say it this way. I'll ask the ministers that come, hey, is there anything that you see that we're doing around here that we shouldn't do? And is there other things that you think we should start or we should stop or we should change or switch? Because I'm susceptible to not knowing everything, of course. I'm open for advice. I'm open for counsel. Correct me. Other times that there have been where we've had ministers in the room, pastors. We've got on our board some successful pastors that have heard me speak before. And I'll say, you know, listen to me. Just listen while I'm preaching. And if there's things that I'm saying, things that I'm doing, if there's mannerisms, if there's things that I can change or tweak or alter to be a better communicator, to get a point home, please tell me. I mean, if you want to really kind of, you know, a challenging thing for me is to actually go online when we post the messages online and listen to yourself speak. Has anybody ever listened to themselves speak? And you go, wow, I'm really, I'm amazed you're here today. I really appreciate you being here today, let me tell you. Because you listen to yourself and you go, gosh, you keep saying that phrase over and over again. And here is a point that you want to drive home, and you just kind of let it slip. And there's, that's why two is greater than one. Come on, somebody. So the first service is practice. You get a better me in the second service. Come on, don't tell the first service because they're not going to show up next week now. Come on. But we all need correction, don't we? We all need correction. Let's look at a real lengthy passage of Scripture from the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Mark it down if you're taking some notes. Encourage you to get a piece of paper, write some stuff down, or put them in your phone or your iPad or whatever you're doing this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. Long, but look at it with me. New Living Translation. Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when He corrects you. Notice that. Don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when He brings correction in your life. Verse 6, for the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His child. Now we'll find out how God, quote unquote, punishes you, how God loves you, how God brings discipline into your life. But the Scripture says here, He's going to discipline you because He loves you. He's going to make a change in your life because He already accepts you. So listen, at the end of the day, you've got to cross the bridge to say, God loves me so much, He's not going to let me be a Cain. He's going to correct me. When I come to church and I hear the Word, God loves me so much that I'm not going to hear the Word and go, that doesn't apply to me. Ooh, bad preacher, bad spectrum church. Ooh, I didn't quite feel it today. You didn't feel it because maybe God's dealing with you about something. Maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe there's bitterness. Maybe there's resentment. Maybe you got a problem with money. Maybe you got a problem with a woman preacher. Maybe you got a problem with accepting authority. Maybe you got a problem. Maybe I got a problem. And so God brings the Word in my life because He loves me so much to bring correction. Verse 7, as you endure, notice this phrase, this divine discipline. Remember that God's treating you as your own children. Who ever heard of a child who's never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children at all. Since we respect our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in His holiness. No discipline, come on, we say no. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. Come on, somebody, correction isn't fun, right? No discipline is enjoyable. That's what he says. It's not enjoyable while it's happening, but notice what it says. But afterward. Afterward. Come on, somebody, wait till afterward. Wait for the correction and be hold steady until you get an afterward. Afterward, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. This portion of Scripture is just a mouthful. Now, when it comes to correction, when it comes to discipline, probably some of you, in the news last year, in fact, a great, great NFL running back lost millions and millions and millions of dollars because he actually said what he did. He brought discipline and correction and actually went way overboard and was whipping up on his kids, one of them anyway, and actually brought pain and scar, you know, anyway, some whelping and all kind of stuff. And we look at it, we lump up everything together. We're not talking about abuse. We're not talking about whooping and, you know, blacking eye and punishing, because we'll talk about that in a minute. That's not what the Scripture says. But we've got to be open to loving discipline and loving correction. And honestly, I think we all could say, I really hate it. I really hate it. But this scripture, I'd encourage you, write this scripture down and go on different translations and just read it, because it says, if I will listen to correction and I will make adjustments in my life is going to grow and be changed. Notice on the screen, mark several things down today if you're taking some notes. Don't make light of correction, it says. In other words, don't run from it. Don't make light of it. We'll talk about that in a minute. If you're never corrected, the word says you really don't have a dad. You really don't have a dad. You don't have a father. It said here, if you run from correction, you will live like a fatherless child. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I'm my own person. Come on, I'm a grown man. I'm 55. Don't talk to me. Yet it's somebody over me. It's somebody that sees something. It's somebody that's trying to correct a behavior, thought, an idea, suggestion. It's somebody that's trying to save me from catastrophe. Save my life. Save my marriage. Save me in making bad business deals. But I'm not going to listen. It's an older woman trying to help a younger woman with short dresses and just a little bit too cute. You're just a little bit too cute. You're drawing just a little bit too much attention from all the single guys in the room. An older woman trying to correct a younger woman, yet she says, don't talk to me. And we've seen sometimes that leads in a wrong way. God's correction, the scripture says, is good. Can you say that with me? God's correction is good. We found out here it said correction. Correction brings training and holiness. Anybody want to live a more holy life? I do. Correction brings training in holiness. Now look at this definition that I found in Webster's Dictionary for the word correction. Notice what it says. To correct means to change and rectify an error or an inaccuracy. In your and my life, can I tell you something? In my life, I've got some error in my life. I've got some inaccuracy in my life, and you do as well. But if I'm not open for correction, if I'm not open for somebody who loves me enough, have you ever watched a brother sit at a table for a half an hour eating a hamburger with you, and he's got a booger in his nose, but you don't want to say nothing about it? You just don't. And so you let that go on, and guess who's the waitress sees it, the other people at other tables, and we let it go on. Just get over yourself and help a brother get it out of his nose. Help a brother out. Come on, poke your neighbor and say, help a brother out. Come on, just help a brother. Ladies seem to know that. Ladies can feel it, but us brothers, we just can't know. There it is all the time. So to correct means to change and to rectify. Change it and then to make it right. Rectify it. Bring healing to it. Any error or any inaccuracy. Man. Wow. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Scripture says that. If I won't correct my children, I'm raising illegitimate children. If I won't correct people who are spiritual, if I won't correct someone in the church when there's behavior that's wrong, God says they really don't have a pastor. Are we open to correction? Don't tell me what to do. Well, we're going to wind up like Cain. We're going to position ourselves away from God. And we're supposed to subdue every wrong thought, every wrong action in our life. But I can't do it by myself. That's why God puts people in my life, in your life as well, to help us grow spiritually. Let me just give a shout out to parents here. Parents, love your children by correcting them and disciplining them. Again, I'm not talking about stuff that we've heard from in the NFL or with certain people, and we've all maybe been around. Maybe you were raised in the family that it was crazy on the discipline correction side. Maybe there was just, it was just, you went way overboard. I'm not talking about that. But again, what happened so many times is that back in the 60s with the Dr. Spock book and all about not doing it, and as a parent, you've just got to be a friend with your kids. Listen to me, your kids don't want you as a friend. They need a mom and they need a dad. If friendship comes with it when they turn 40 and they got their own kids, they'll love you as a friend for what you did in their life. Come on, somebody, help me out this morning. They need you as a parent first, as a father, as a mother. And so you need to love your children by bringing corrective discipline in their life, correction in their life. Listen, there's a couple scriptures here. Listen to this. A child left to themselves will bring shame to his mother. A child left to himself will bring shame to his mama. Oh, it's just little sweet Emilio, little sweet Johnny. He never did anything wrong. Yeah, he did stuff wrong every day. You need to whoop his butt. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I didn't say whoop. You need to bring some corrective action in his life. Poverty and shame, the scripture says in the book of Proverbs. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. Never going to be corrected. Don't talk to me about correction. I'm too old for correction. I'm too far down the road for correction. Can't change me no more. Listen to me. The scripture says, then you have just entered into a realm called, quote, the fool. I've crossed the bridge. I live in the land of the fool. Over and over in the scripture, it talks about that. 78 times. 78 times in the book of Proverbs, called the book of wisdom, it says and addresses the, quote, fool. I'd encourage you, look up those scriptures and say, I hope I ain't in any of them. But can I tell you, I read some of them, and I'm pretty close in some of them. Why? Because there's some stuff that you deal with, and you just go, that hurt, that word, that situation. And so maybe you pull back, maybe you shut something around in your life, and God is trying to bless you because He loves you, and He loves each one of us. Can you say amen? Amen. Write down several scriptures. Proverbs 19:20, Message Bible, take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. Take good counsel. Go ahead and accept your correction. Go ahead and accept it. You might be corrected tomorrow at work. What's going to happen? Hope this helps you. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. New Century Version. Look on the screen. You probably don't have it in your lap. You can maybe pull it up on your iPad. It says, if you correct someone who makes fun of wisdom, you'll be insulted. If you correct an evil person, you'll get hurt. Do not correct those who make fun of wisdom, or they'll hate you, but correct the wise and they'll love you. Verse 9, teach the wise and they'll become even wiser. Teach good people and they'll learn even more. Wow. So these scriptures tell us that you and I can tell what kind of person we are, a wise person or a disdainer, by what we do when we're corrected. What we do when we're face to face with situations that make us uncomfortable. A superior corrects us, a parent corrects us, a coach corrects us, a department head person in church corrects us, somebody down the teams that's over us and they have to bring correction and done in the right way. What do we do with that? Do we make light of it, it says? Do we make light of correction? just, and going on. Do we lash out at the person giving us correction? We've had a couple of situations over the years of being in ministry, and Pastor Cameron and I are in a counseling session and just trying to help somebody and just try to help them. And we've been in some situations that we found that we were in the presence of a fool in a certain regard. When you're trying to help someone and the person you're trying to help spins the table and tries to put something back on you, you're in the presence of a fool, Scripture says. So if while you're receiving correction from somebody, you're automatically saying, well, this is because, and I've seen you do it, and Scripture says you got some work to do in your heart. Do you belittle someone that brings or hate the person who's bringing correction in your life? To some of you today, and again, hope I don't touch a sore spot, but for us, that's why we're here at church. Do you hate your father for bringing correction in your life? Do you hate your mother? And maybe they did it wrong, but can I implore you today? Can I implore you, before you leave this room at 12:15 or so, that you just let it go and forgive them? Because hear me, sin is crouching at the door, and you have today claw marks on your back dragging you down for the damnation that happened to you. It was wrong. It was not right. It was not done godly. But you got to let it go and get those claw marks out of your back. So you can be free. So you can be the person God's called you to be. Correct the wise person. Scripture says this. They're going to love you. They're going to love you. Correct the wise person. The Scripture says they're going to become wiser. Correct the wise person. They're going to learn even more. Is that you? Is that you? Proverbs 12:1, Message Bible says this. If you love learning, you love the discipline that goes with it. How short-sighted to refuse correction. King James says, you hate correction. We're stupid. Stupid. When you read the Bible, it'll just kind of make you shake your head sometimes. Anybody beside me? Come on, you just kind of go, doggone it, Jesus, what are you doing? God, how? Come on. Do y'all not read the Bible that way? And just go, my Lord, I need to know something I don't know about this. Case in point. Jesus is walking on the water. Come on, he's on the water. Peter and all the disciples in the boat going out. There's a storm. Can I say it this way? All hell's breaking loose. We got fishermen for a living. Fishermen in a boat going, ah, help me, Jesus. Ah, so this ain't no little kind of wind blow. This is an all hell breaking loose storm. Come on. Water's coming in the boat. We got lobsters flying in the boat. We got fish. Come on, everybody. It's a storm. Jesus comes walking on the water. And Peter goes, Lord, is that you? And he says, sure, it's me. Who else would it be? That's my paraphrase, you know. Who else is walking on the water, idiot? You know? And come on, don't tell me the Lord won't call you idiot. Come on now. That's Tennessee version where I was growing. Anyway. And so he says, if it's you, tell me to come out. So he says, come. Peter goes, come on, the boat's rocking. It's Peter, come on. And out he goes. And he's walking. And the disciples in the boat, I mean, come on. Little Doubting Thomas, come back, you're going to die, come back. And he's walking. But the Bible says before he got to Jesus, come on, what did he do? Anybody know? He began sinking, right? Began sinking. But Jesus, in his great grace and mercy, is right there to bring him up. Brings him back to the boat. They get in the boat, come on. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus did not say, Pete, you know, you walked about 90 yards. Ain't no man ever done it beside me. He didn't say, Pete, you're the man. Oh, y'all, look at Pete. You know what he did? He looked at Pete and said, why'd you doubt? You little doubter. Pete's getting corrected. At the resurrection, after the resurrection, Jesus crucified. Come on. Goes to the grave. Resurrected. They come to the tomb. They look around. They're in the room, waiting, fearful. Jesus shows up. And he upbraids them. He reprimands them and says, why did you guys doubt? He didn't offer them a hot latte. He don't encourage them. Come on, everybody. He says, why did you doubt? Somebody said this, that we've actually made a Jesus who can't even correct us. Just a sweet Jesus who blesses me. Just a sweet Jesus who gives me some peace. Just a sweet Jesus who opens up some doors. Just a sweet Jesus who has a little lamb. Can I tell you something? You need a Jesus who will correct you. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, me too. Punishment, write it down. Punishment is done to hurt you. Punishment is done to hurt you, but correction is done to instruct you. So how's God going to instruct you? How's God going to correct you? How's He going to do it? You know, maybe some of y'all were raised in a church that I think is a little bit crazy, but I'll just go ahead and say it. You're raised in a church that from the pulpit, you were told, you know, y'all step out of line, God's going to wrap your noggin right around a telephone pole out there. He's going to train wreck your car. Man. you know, how God's going to correct you. You're going to be walking down after church at Rubio's trying to get you a little burrito, and there's going to be a banana peel there. Whoop, you're going to go, and you're going to knock yourself out. God's going to bring some correction in your life. That's not the way God corrects you. The Bible says God corrects you this way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture, come on, read it out loud, will you? Come on, 1, 2, 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice that. The Scripture, all Scripture, we just say the Word of God is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for four realms, it says, for doctrine or for teaching, for teaching. But then it also says, for reproving you and me, for correcting you and me, for instructing. So half of the Word of God, Paul writes to Pastor Timothy, half of the Word of God is used to reprove you, to test you, to see what's really in your heart, and to bring some correction in your life. But I think that we just think that, I just want a little sweet Jesus, a little sweet God, and don't talk to me about how I need to make some changes, or if I'm doing something, or if I'm unforgiving, or if I'm bitter, or if I'm a gossip, or if I'm a liar, or if I'm a cheat. I don't want to read all that stuff. Just let me have heaven, and just bless me while I'm here. And God says, I need to bring some correction in your life. Because if I leave you to yourself, it's going to bring shame and ruin to you. And I love you too much to leave you to yourself. And if you have kids, let me say this to all you dads. There is going to be a time in your life, if it hasn't happened already, that your boys bristle up a little bit. And you as a dad are going to have to bristle up a little bit more and throw your weight around. You might have to. And you moms, you're going to have to bristle up and say, sassy mouth girl, you ain't talking to me like that no more. Because I'm going to rip your nails out of your hands. Am I telling the truth, though? Listen to these words from the book of Proverbs, book of wisdom. It mentions the word rebuke many times in that book. Listen to several. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Rebuke, correction. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. You're the greatest. Oh, man. Oh, you. Don't tell me I'm the greatest. Tell me what I need to change. I know I'm the greatest. Come on, somebody. What do I need to change? Don't look at my good spots. Tell me what I change. I can't see back here. I can't see when I'm walking out of the bathroom that I got toilet paper stuffed in my shoe. Come on, somebody. Help me there. Help me there. Another scripture says, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. A child left himself, we said, brings shame. He who heeds rebuke gets understanding. How's God going to do it? He's going to do it, number one, through His Word. Through His Word. You're reading His Word. And you say, whew, I need to make adjustments. I'm in church. And can I tell you something? You do not want to go to a church that agrees with everything you believe. You want to go to a church like this, hopefully, that preaches the Word to go, whew, I believe what they're saying, and I sure do need to make some adjustments in my life in certain areas. I need correction, because I see it from the Word, but I need to make some adjustments. Paul writes to Pastor Timothy again how you need to teach the people. He says this in 2 Timothy 4:2. He says, when you teach the Word of God to these people, you need to convince them, here it is again, rebuke them and correct them. You need to warn them, urge them, encourage them, be unflaggingly and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Again, he says, you need to rebuke some people in certain situations. You doing that? Come on, you need to stop that. You're sabotaging your future. You're damning your present. You're hurting your relationships. You keep thinking that crazy thought. Come on, you need to go making that train go in a different direction. You're going to wreck. Have you ever had somebody? And what's so heart-wrenching is when you talk to somebody that you love, your family, your friends, maybe your coworkers. You just want to grab them and shake them by the shoulders. Stop! I see something that you don't see. Would you just let me help you? And God says, I want to do that for you as well. Pastor Carl Lentz pastors a great church, Hillsong, in New York City. He said this. He said, correction for some people has really become a cuss word. The good shepherd always corrects. Always corrects. In the book of Acts, crazy stuff was going on. Jesus was raised from the dead, and Jesus said, you know, all power has been given to me in heaven. Go and make disciples. 120 of these guys waited in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit filled that whole room, and they all began to speak in an unknown tongue. We believe that around here. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. God will give you a heavenly language. It's crazy. It's beyond your intellect. It's amazing. It's better than English, Spanish, or any dialect you got. It's just a heavenly language right to God. We believe that around here. But they came out of that upper room, and they began prophesying, preaching, and laying hands on the sick, and crazy stuff was going on. 3,000 people got saved when Peter began preaching, and then 5,000 more people got saved, and this momentum in this church just started billowing and busting and growing. And there was a group of people that are hearing what's going on, and they're not all in yet, but they've seen this whole thing, and their hearts are being changed. And here's what they say in Acts 2:37. It says, when they heard Peter preaching, notice this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brothers, what do we got to do? One translation says, what do we got to do to be saved? How do we need to change? Man, this is the proper response every time you hear the Word of God. What do I need to do? Write it down. Truth will always confront you. It'll always confront you. But here's what I know. Personally, and here's what I know dealing with all of us as well, is that there's always a chance when I'm confronted with truth or confronted with being corrected to get offended. Get offended. Secondly, to withdraw. And then thirdly, to completely separate myself from people. Separate myself from those that are over me. Separate myself from friends. We didn't do everything right as a parent, just like none of us do. We tried to follow the Word, and I overstepped lots of times in discipline with the kids. And you look at it now going, man, I was just an idiot. You know, and you discipline it maybe out of anger more than correction from the Word of God. But I see a truth from the Word of God, how we need to do that with our kids, and lovingly and tenderly, and again, for the purpose of correction in their life. And we always, Kimberly was real good at this, and really, really was a strong point of our marriage together and bringing correction with our kids whenever we had to deal with them when they were small, that whenever there was any kind of corrective action, we didn't do this, and I'd encourage you not to do this, parents, with your small children. You know, you just need to go to your room and think about this for 8 hours. Because that's not what you want, because that's not what God does with you. So what Kimberly really did, which was great, and we both agreed to it, is that whenever there was any corrective discipline, you know, you got your kids, you need to have some discipline in their life, then guess what we did? There's going to be tears. There's going to be tears. And hopefully, it's hurting your heart as much as it's hurting their heart. Maybe some tears in your emotional. It needs to be. Correction is emotional, but you know you need to. And so afterwards, there was always hands grabbing, necks hugging, praying, Lord, help us make change. Then, after that, let's go. All done. All done. Let's go play. Let's go eat. Let's go watch the video. Let's go to the store. What? There ain't no sulking, there ain't no shame, there's no withdrawal, there's no separation. Whenever the correction is done, it's to help and to bless. Then we get on down the road. Can you say amen? Go to your room. Think about this for 45 years. You've just entered your son or daughter into Donovan State Prison. Everybody there wishes they listened to correction. Write it down. Correction is not control. Correction is not control. Control involves manipulating and intimidating. Correction involves instruction and blessing. Let's wind down. Come on, y'all did real good this morning. Come on, second service, y'all are the bomb. Come on. It's hot out there. It's better in here, isn't it? Come on, everybody. Somebody said, I'm going to church. They got air conditioning. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here. Let's wind down. Job is an amazing book. Job is a crazy book. When you read it, you go, dear Lord, what happened with this brother? Most theologians believe the book of Job lasted about a year or less. We read it, it's 42 chapters, so it's going to take you a while to read it, but they say it happened in about a year or less. Job was tempted by the devil. The devil came in and he wiped the brother out. His kids died. All his stuff got stolen. Hail came down. Fire burned up stuff. It was crazy. Yet in all that stuff, the Bible says Job didn't demean God, and he didn't listen to his crazy wife. His wife said some crazy stuff like, curse God and die. He didn't do all that stuff. He just kind of stayed steady. But he had some friends that were throwing some darts in his mind all the time for 37 chapters. And he was kind of wobbling and waffling and lots of different stuff. And we find out that Job says this. Job, listen to what he says. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? This is what God comes to him then and says. He says, listen, Job, you know, I've been listening to you for about 37 chapters. Listen. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, Bubba. That's my paraphrase. Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you and you need to answer them. And then in chapter 38 and 39 and 40 and 41, God, or right through there, 40, God lays out all this stuff that Job's got no knowledge of. Job, where were you when I made all the stars? Job, do you know where the fish come from and where the birds fly from and fly to? And after it all is said and done, here's what Job says in chapter 42. Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, God, and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I'll speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I have only heard about you before, but now I have seen with you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Job said, I receive your correction. And the Bible says when that happened, God began causing a restoration in Job's life. He wound up praying for his friends. God turned the tide in his life. And at the end of Job's life, he received double what he had actually lost, because the brother was open and received some correction. If you have people all around you that just tell you you're the latest, you're the greatest, you're the best, I don't know if that's the kind of friends you need. You're going to need a couple like that. If you've got some people that are, you know, you got such a low self-esteem or low self-worth, you're not going to get that around here. We're going to pump you up. We're going to tell you you're the greatest since peanut butter. We believe in you. We believe in the power of God in you. But on the other side, the book of Proverbs says this. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Do you have a bunch of people in your life that just kiss up all the time to you? Or do you have some people in your life say, you know, you need to make some adjustments over here. Maybe you need to do this in business. As a parent, I can help you. I've seen this. As a wife, as an older woman teaching the younger women. As an older married couple teaching a younger married couple. Are you open to it? Interesting what it says, because it doesn't seem like it goes together, the scripture. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, If you don't have a friend in your life that wounds you, corrects you, haven't got a friend. You got a confidant. You got an acquaintance. You've got an admirer. But you don't have a friend. Tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. Correct me. Challenge me. Listen, we're not talking about some kind of hurtful or pain penance for something, but I need to make some adjustments in my life. I've blown. Listen, if I've gone from relationship to relationship to relationship, I'm missing something. I'm missing something. If I can't have a steady job and I keep getting laid off and I've had 5 in the last 2 years, I'm missing something. Somebody help me. It's because you're arrogant, because you're cocky, it's because you won't start out here and grow up and be faithful a little. That's why. That's exactly what I needed. And I'm mad and I'm bristled up and I'm turning red and I want to hit something. I want to sit there. Take a deep breath. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to withdraw. I'm not going to separate. I'm going to take the word of God. Take that counsel. In my life, because I want to be a better dad, be a better husband, be a better worker. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better leader. Whatever God's called me to do, I got to be open to correction. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So what do you got to do? Close it. I got to listen intently, number one. I got to listen. I got to be open. I got to listen. Number two, I got to humble myself. I got to humble myself. A couple of years ago or so, 3 years ago, maybe longer now, had a pastor, had somebody, a friend that I, that we just really respect. Man, he just called me out on something. No sin or anything like that. He just called me out. And man, I tell you what, I went through that whole thing, I want to take my phone. I'm going to throw my phone. Tell me, come on, just come on, pastor. I deal with emotions just like you. I'm real just like you. You just kind of go, exactly right. Exactly right. You're exactly right. Listen to that. Hear that. I need that. I'm better for it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Got to listen. Got to humble myself. So that thirdly, I can learn and I can grow. I can learn and I can grow. Can I tell you, I hate correction. When I just think about it. But if we'll all hear it, if we'll all heed it, we can all grow spiritually. Can you say amen? Hear it and heed it. So whatever you've been through, whatever that person's standing over you, pointing down at you, demeaning you, belittling you, humiliating you, that's not the heart of God. And that's not the heart of anybody who's got your best interests. So put that off on the shelf. You go, that was crazy. That was crazy. Crazy. But there's correction from the Word of God that God wants to bring into my life. It's going to grow me. It's going to mature me. I refuse to live my life like Cain. I want to be blessed by God. I want to be changed. I want to grow. So I'm not going to make light of correction. I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to welcome. Come on, somebody. Bring the correction on. In the right parameters. In the right parameters. Amen. Some of you moms, don't you want to hit the lady at Walmart who's trying to tell you how to run your family? You got no business trying to correct you. Come on, right? I'm getting ready to throw my Slurpee at you. Shut up. Right? But a mother-in-law, a father-in-law, come on, your own mom, somebody you love, somebody that's raised a family, try to bring correction in your life. Hopefully you'll accept it, along with the Word of God. Come on, stand up, everybody. Y'all did real good today. Wow. Come on, two's better than one, two's greater than one, and here you are at the second service. Bow your head, close your eyes. Give everyone the right to privacy in the room today. Would you do that? Our prayer partner's going to come up here to the front. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Whether you've been to our church many times before, maybe this is your first time, we always want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus